Reading is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 7. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. For the flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Sheba in your stead.
Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made.
Our New Testament reading is from John chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much for that lovely reading. Now let us pray. God, we thank you for these words from Isaiah and from John, for the images they bring of birth and new life. God, help us as we hear these words and as I speak to open our hearts and minds, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So there are lots of ways that we can identify ourselves, right? If somebody asks you to introduce yourself, there are all sorts of words you may use to describe. For many of the people we're celebrating today, that identity is mother or grandmother. But there are others who identify, there are different ways, right? We can identify based on our gender, based on our culture, based on where we were born, our sexual orientation, our family relationships, our marital status, our job, the sport we love to play. The list could go on and on and on. There are so many ways that we can choose to describe who we are. But more than anything else, as Christians, we are called to identify ourselves by who we are in Jesus. And this is so important because some of those titles that I talked about before, they can change over your lifetime. The job that you do, the quality of the relationships with your friends or your family, all of these things can change, or at least some of them can. And we can get lost if we lose our sense of self. But who we are in God doesn't change, because God doesn't change. And so by having a sense of who we are in God, it allows us to, I think, live fuller lives within those other identities, which are still important. So I have a friend, Sharon Simmons, who wrote a book all about identity. It's called Who Am I? I wrote a bit about it in the newsletter article this month for May. And it's going to be the basis of our series from now until the end of June. In her book, she actually identifies 22 different identities that we have in Christ. I've picked 8 of them. And so we're going to look at a different one each week. And I wanted to start with this idea of being children of God, right? We hear that in those opening words from John, that we were given this gift to be children of God. Because I think it's one of the foundations to all the rest of the identities of who we are. And in fact, I think it's so important that we're going to look at two aspects of it. We'll look at one today, and we'll look at it again from a different angle on Father's Day, when we again talk about families. So, and I want to acknowledge that Mother's Day and Father's Day are both complicated holidays for many people. It can be difficult for those who didn't have a good relationship, perhaps, with their mother or father, for those who have recently lost a parent, for those who want to be parents and cannot for whatever reason. And the list goes on and on for things that where it may be difficult. But I do think we see parent metaphors for God quite a bit in Scripture. And so with all of that in mind, I think it's important to look at, and we often hear, because Jesus talks about God as Father, and so we often hear that term. But it's actually remarkable how many times we see this imagery of God as Mother as well in our Scripture. And it's not always as overt. Perhaps because the way language was used at that time, they didn't necessarily write it that way, I guess. But you can see this obvious reference to God as one who gives birth, as God as one who creates. And so we're going to explore that a little bit in our text today. And I will say, I always wanted to be a mom. Or at least as long as I can remember. And I always wanted at least three kids. And so it was a joy for me when I was able to get pregnant and when I was, when I then, of course, had my children. And one of the weird things about being pregnant, for those who have been through the experience, is that often it doesn't feel like you're doing very much. Right? It's not like you're actively, your body is actively working to create a child, but you mostly go about your day, right? I continued to go to work. I continued to mostly eat the foods I ate other than a sudden dislike for the smell of wine gums, which is fine. It wasn't my favorite treat anyway. But, I ate the way I ate. I was still living and sleeping in the same places. But yet there was this change going on inside me. And there were times when, it was hard to remember, why am I so tired? I couldn't stay up, I remember, past 9:30. I would fall asleep on the couch with people in our house when I was pregnant with Malcolm, and they'd just continue on about me. But of course, my body was working and doing something invisible. There was a transformation happening inside me, from this embryo through to this living, breathing child. And I think that image of invisible transformation is incredibly helpful when we think about what God does in our lives. As far as we know, when John was writing his book, it may have started at verse 19, which is when John first starts talking about the life of John the Baptist. And what scholars think is that when John wrote his letters, which you find later in the New Testament, he went back and wrote this prologue, perhaps because people were reading his book and misunderstanding it. And we see a lot of that in the letter of 1 John. And the prologue, which is verses 1 to 18, is written kind of in that same style, except it's written mostly as a poem. And it's quite possible that the beginning was, in fact, an early Christian hymn. That he adds some commentary to along the way. And so the verses that Michelle read for us this morning come from what many would consider the third stanza. It's the thoughts that John thought was important enough to add to his book. And it's here where John says, we are able to become children of God. Specifically, he says, to all who received Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And it's interesting the way John words this, and it kind of looks towards a conversation Jesus has with Nicodemus later in the book. But it's absent of the normal ways that people have children. And it's interesting that John specifically excludes a husband's will. Because what's left if you take away the husband? It's the mother. And so God is the mother who births us into her family, right? And we even see this. So when Nicodemus is talking to Jesus, so Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and he came to Jesus at night, and they spoke overnight, and Jesus told Nicodemus, to have true life, you must be born again. And Jesus comes back to the same, or Nicodemus comes back to the same picture of physical childbirth. And he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And Jesus says, it's not a physical birth, it's a spiritual birth, but it's still a birth that comes from God. So what does it mean to become a child of God? Why does it matter? Well, today we're going to look at some of the words from Isaiah. So we read actually part of that passage last week. And then we picked up sort of the second half of what Carter read last week and continued it through for another few verses, which is what Jude and Isabel read. And we see these images that we can imagine, perhaps, an ideal mother going through. This idea of chasing after your child. I imagine the child running towards the street, right? And a mother, sometimes a father, grabbing them and saving them from danger, wanting to follow them when they go out in the world on their own and knowing we can't, but still wanting the best for them. We see some of that imagery in Isaiah. But more than anything, you may remember from last week, we talked about how when we become children of God, there is a transformation. And God offers this unconditional love and promise of support, whether we fail or whether we succeed. And I think this is important because so often we feel like we're not good enough, or we feel like, you know, we failed God, or we failed our family, we failed our friends. And that can make us feel defeated and like we shouldn't try. And so when we're rooted in our identity as children of God, it can help us remember that God loves us full stop. And that he's doing something inside us. He's transforming us, even if we can't always see it. And what's amazing about that is the end result, you can think about a baby in a pregnancy, the end result, the baby, looks nothing like what it starts as. And yet it's the same being, it's the same person from beginning to end. And of course, you know, I look at my child who's now 10, and she looks a little bit like she did when she was a baby, right? But her personality has come out, and she has this wonderful sense of style and all of these things that weren't there when she was first born. And when you watch it step by step, you don't notice it. You don't notice day to day the changes that happen. But then you look back at the pictures from 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and you see how they've grown, how they've changed, how they've blossomed. And God doesn't stop that work when we become adults. We see our changes perhaps in less positive ways as we get older as adults, as our hair goes gray or perhaps starts to disappear, and as we get maybe more sore and we can't do some of the things we did before. But the inner transformation, the spiritual transformation, doesn't do that, right? It doesn't start to decline like perhaps we feel our physical being is declining. It continues to grow. It continues to mature as long as we sit and embrace that identity as children of God. And of course, God doesn't leave us alone, right? That's what Isaiah says. God grants us courage. God gathers us together from the ends of the earth. That's what our technology is doing. It's gathering us together from the ends of Ottawa and the country and the world and bringing us together in worship. God names us, and God walks with us through the water and through the fire, so that we will not be harmed. So the next time you're feeling discouraged and feeling like nothing's happening and you're not getting any better and just things feel like they just, you're done, I want to encourage you to remember that you are God's child, that God is working to transform you, to birth you into something new and beautiful. It's one of my favorite metaphors for a pastor is that of a midwife, which might seem like a strange one, but I've always loved it. I had midwives with both of my pregnancies, all of my births. And what they would do is they would provide information, they would provide guidance, and they were with me every step of the way as I was figuring out how to birth these babies and how to care for them. But they didn't do the work, right? And that's the thing about a pastor. I can't convert people. That's not my job. That's not my role. I can't cause people to have faith. But I get the privilege and the joy of walking with you, with anybody who's interested in learning more about God. And I get a front row seat to see how God is transforming you. And it is beautiful, even if you don't always see it. And so I thank you for that. Let us pray. God, you are beautiful. You are a beautiful mother, a beautiful parent, and you love us wholeheartedly. God, we thank you for that example of how to love each other. And I thank you, God, that for the reality of transformation, even when we don't see it, that as long as we're truly seeking you, as long as we are part of your family, that transformation never stops. I pray, God, that we would see little signs of it, that when we're discouraged or feel like we're not going anywhere, that we would see where you're working, and that we would be able to lean into it, to participate, and to see the beautiful transformation that you have in store. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.